The following is a production of Omnis.tv.
On tonight's show, I'll be covering the NBA draft, Major League Baseball, the death of a TV legend, top movies at the box office, and Adele's big news. All this and more on Unsigned, happening now. Hey, everybody. How's it going out there? My name is Ryan. Welcome to another edition of the Unsigned Show. And, you know, before we get into the show tonight, my apologies go out to Rob and the band King Whack. And also, Rob is the owner of Dragonfly Promotions and Dragonfly Digital Music. So I apologize to Rob tonight. We had some unfortunate issues that just didn't allow us to bring him on. So hopefully he was actually at a 4th of July party. Couldn't hang any longer. Completely understandable. I told him, I was like, hey, man, go drink some beer, shoot some fireworks off, and enjoy yourself. And we'll hook up later down the line. So hopefully we can get Rob back on here on the Unsigned Show. One, the band King Whack is great. And Rob is you know, it seemed like a pretty cool dude, and we'd definitely like to get to know him more, so hopefully he'll be able to come back on. We got a lot of stuff to cover regardless of that, though, this evening. Our second show since the return after a long hiatus, and tonight showed we were a little rusty on some things, but hey, that kind of things happen when you're doing live broadcast, you know, some things you just can't control, you know? I was talking to Mike. We have this program we use, and you know, it just, they didn't really update their programming. They just updated their error messaging with a nice female voice, which I thought was a very nice touch. So hats off to them. You know, all the stuff we're going to cover tonight, NBA, you know, the draft, you know, we got a bunch of music news, Olympics, and we'll get into all that. But I'll tell you what, let's lead off with some information, some things that have been going on in the NBA. It's been really crazy. We had the shortened season of the NBA. You know, the strike didn't start the season until December 28th. They jammed 66 games in a short amount of time. Then they have their regular playoffs, extend that, and then they have the draft. And then all of a sudden, 4 days after the draft, boom, free agency starts July 1st at midnight. People were signing all over the place. They're throwing money all over the joint. Announced a couple hours before we came on the air tonight, Deron Williams of the New Jersey Nets, soon to be the Brooklyn Nets, signs a 5-year deal worth $98 million. And yesterday, they landed Joe Johnson from the Atlanta Hawks, who's going to be making about making about $90 million over the next 4 years. And they already had signed small forward Jared Wallace. They picked up via the trade deadline this past season for 4 years, $40 million. Big rumors that the Nets are going to try to package and make a deal to land Dwight Howard out of Orlando. Owner Mikhail Prokhorov sparing no expense, writing big-time checks. I hope he knows that the luxury tax in the NBA goes for every dollar that you're over in the luxury tax in the NBA, you play $1.75. So when you're talking $90, $100 million, and you're paying $1.75 for every dollar over you're over the cap in the next after the next season, that's big time money. Of course, they're moving into that new building in Brooklyn. New building, new super team. I expect them to get the Dwight Howard deal done. Now, on the other side, the flip side of things, in the Atlanta Falcons, or excuse me, the Atlanta Hawks. Danny Ferry, former general manager of the Cleveland Cavaliers, spent the past couple years with the San Antonio Spurs. He comes into Atlanta and blows the whole thing up in a hurry. And to be honest with you, it needed to be done. The fact that he was able to get someone to take Joe Johnson's bloated $90 million contract. Joe Johnson's going to be 36 years old in the last year of his $90 million contract. Think about that for a second. How many NBA players at the age of 36 are worth $90 million? Zero. So the fact that he got the Brooklyn Nets to take on that contract is unbelievable. But again, you're going to pair him with Deron Williams, a very young superstar, and more than likely Dwight Howard. We'll see how that plays out. And then, you know, Danny Ferry wasn't done there. Then he sends Marvin Williams, a guy who really never lived up to all the hype and never really lived up to his potential. They sent him to Utah for point guard Devin Harris. So I don't think the Hawks are done. I still think they're going to make moves. And you know the New Jersey Nets are definitely not done. Jason Terry signed with the Boston Celtics today. He spent most of his career in Dallas, won the championship with Dallas last year over the Heat. He's going to end up as a Boston Celtic. It makes me think at this point the big three in Boston is probably done. Garnett's re-signing. I expect Ray Allen to leave Boston, maybe join the Miami Heat. The Los Angeles Clippers are probably interested as well. Again, a lot of time that you know for free agency to clear up in the NBA. And first-year All-Star center Roy Hibbert, who was with the Indiana Pacers, was offered a max deal by the Portland Trailblazers the other day, and rumor is that he is considering taking that offer and leaving Indiana. Big surprise. I thought he would stay in Indiana. They had a nice, real solid team there, but, you know, hey, someone offers you a max contract, of $70, $80, $90, $100 million. Hard to turn that down, even if you are just going to Portland. But you know what? Portland's a great place to play. They got a rich tradition there. The Rose Garden's a great stadium. The great loyal fans in Portland, they want a winner. They've got some nice pieces there in Portland. If Hibbert goes there, him and LaMarcus Aldridge on that front court, that's going to be very imposing. Other free agents in the NBA, you may be hearing names floating around. Here's some of the big names that are still out there. Nicholas Batum from Portland, I expect him to land somewhere. Rumor is the Cavs, Minnesota, maybe Toronto, some other teams involved there. O.J. Mayo, the Grizzlies didn't offer him a qualifying contract. A lot of people were surprised by that. I expect Boston maybe to make a run at him, maybe Houston. Hard telling exactly where he's going to end up. Also, you have Michael Beasley. Here's a guy who was the number two pick in the draft 4 years ago, and basically the Minnesota Timberwolves. Heck, the Minnesota Timberwolves didn't even want this guy. I still think he's a useful player, just a matter of he's one of those guys in the NBA you go, man, that guy has a lot of talent. If he ever figures it out, he's going to be a dangerous player. 4 years in the league, that window, you know, for figuring it out is getting smaller and smaller. I think he's got a year or two to – you know, for the light to go off, and if it doesn't go off, he's just a player that he is. Jeff Green, who had the heart condition, Boston would like to re-sign him as their small forward, stretch forward, four guy. Remains to be seen. I think, you know, Jeff Green is a very interesting player, may get some interest out there. And then, of course, Nick Young from the Clippers, he was involved in that off-season, in the mid-season trade. Hard telling exactly what kind of interest he's going to draw. A lot of big names still out there, a lot of good players still out there. Now, the big name, obviously, so are the days of our lives, and Dwight Howard demanding a trade, saying he's going to stay. This guy is like a walking soap opera. You know, I think he's the best center in the league, Dwight Howard. There's no doubt about that. But if you look around the NBA and you go, Dwight Howard's the best center, and you look at all the other centers in the league and you go, okay, Roy Hibbert, Tyson Chandler, Andrew Bynum. It's a short list. I named, you know, three right there. I'm struggling to come up with a couple more. It doesn't mean much. In this day and age where the dominant center is just a thing of the past. It's not something you see like you did, you know, with Shaquille O'Neal, like you did with, you know, Alonzo Mourning and Patrick Ewing and Hakeem Olajuwon and, you know, the Duncan Dutchman, Rick Schmitz, and the list goes on and on. You know, so Dwight Howard, I think, is an overpaid, he's athletic freak, who really is not as skilled as he really should be. I mean, for his size and athleticism, he's been in the league about, 7-8 years now, I believe. You know, I think it's time for him to really start dominating. Now he's got the back issue. He had missed the whole playoffs in the last part of the season with a back issue, had to have surgery. That makes you wonder, a guy his size, you know, 7 foot, 7'1", with that kind of frame, having a back issue. Hey, we've seen a lot of great players with back injuries, you know, just kind of fade away. Heck, look at Mike Miller in the NBA Finals. The guy could barely walk up and down, you know, barely walk. You know, Larry Bird ended his career back injuries. So, I mean, you know, you get back injuries on big guys like that, you know, usually doesn't pan out very well for them. And here, you know, he's going to be drawing a lot of interest and a lot of money and is really holding the Orlando Magic hostage. I'm sorry, he came out in the news the other day and said he was blackmailed into signing his tender agreement for the Orlando Magic. I tell you what, I would love to be blackmailed and have someone pay me $15 million. That poor guy, Dwight Howard, you know, unbelievable. They blackmailed me into it. They blackmailed me into staying in sunny Orlando, Florida, and paying me over $15 million. My heart goes out to you, Dwight Howard. It really does. Now, hey, last Thursday was the NBA draft. The number one pick, of course, with Anthony Davis, goes to the New Orleans Hornets. The number two pick I thought was kind of a surprise, but it makes sense. The Charlotte Bobcats go with Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. He's not going to be the superstar. He has a potential to be the superstar, but he's a guy that's going to come in there and really change the culture. He's a winner. He's a hard worker and a hard player. Hey, look, you look at that roster, and I said it last week, that's an overpaid D-League team in Charlotte. They needed pieces. Also rumored that Antoine Jameson, who played at North Carolina, grew up in the area, may go there to finish out his career. So you get a consummate pro in Antoine Jameson, and you get a really young, very skilled, versatile player in Michael Kidd-Gilchrist from Kentucky going to the Charlotte Bobcats. Kudos to Michael Jordan for pulling that off. Number three in the draft, the Washington Wizards, they pick up Bradley Beal, who really was kind of the darling of the draft. A lot of buzz was about him. He was climbing up the draft boards. Rumors that Cleveland was going to jump up there and take him. And by all accounts, there was a deal in place. They just couldn't reach an agreement with the Bobcats to really move from four to number two. And then the Cleveland Cavaliers select Dion Waiters. Everyone went, who? What? Dion Waiters from Syracuse? Wait a second. Everyone's looking. Oh, yeah, he was a pretty good player. Oh, he didn't work out with anybody. Yeah, he shut it down. Him and his agent decided to shut it down right in the midst of everything, so nobody really got a chance to interview him or really work him out. They had to just go buy film. And you watch film of Dion Waiters, you go, he kind of reminds me of Dwayne Wade a little bit. I tell you what, the Cavs are hoping he ends up like Dwayne Wade. Could you imagine a Dwayne Wade-like player and Dion Waiters playing with Kyrie Irving? Whew. That is a dangerous backcourt for years to come. And the Cavs also pick up Tyler Zeller from North Carolina, who I think is a very skilled, I think probably the best skilled seven-footer in this draft. And people were going, man, what's wrong with Zeller? He was projected at, you know, top 10, top 12, and he went 13, 14, dropped all the way to 17. The Cavs finally make a deal with Dallas and get him in there. I think that's going to be a nice pickup. He's going to get to play behind Anderson Varejao in Cleveland, who's really turned into the veteran of that team and the only really remaining player from that team from the LeBron era that really won a lot of basketball games. That's going to really help the development of a young player such as Tyler Zeller. And the Kings are sitting there at number five going, hey, Thomas Robinson just fell in our lap. We'll take him. Good move right there by the Sacramento Kings. Now, the Portland Trailblazers pick up Damian Lillard from Weber State. I really like Lillard. I think he's a good scorer, but my concern is his ball handling as a point guard and how he's going to handle the scouting report when that comes out and teams realize he doesn't handle the trap on the pick and roll real well. That's my only concern, and it's going to be there's a large learning curve when you're playing at Weber State and you go to the NBA and they're going, hey, this guy has trouble handling the ball with both hands, and the scouting report comes out, they start trapping you on that pick and roll. It becomes a little bit difficult, and you got those big 6'7", 6'8", guys coming at you, trapping you in the corners of the court, and you're not used to seeing that size and athleticism. Interesting to see how his transition to the NBA works out as far as from Weber State to, you know, playing in the NBA in Portland. Number seven, Harrison Barnes falls right in the lap of Golden State. They couldn't have been any happier with him, a guy who was just a flat-out scorer. He can make jump shots. I thought the Cavs would look at him for whatever reason. You know, I guess they decided they didn't need a small forward for whatever reason. Terrence Ross. A lot of people thought this was really high, and I tell you what, he's a shooting guard, he's a scorer, he played at Washington, and I thought, you know, that Washington team should have been in the NCAA tournament. I thought Terrence Ross is not a great decision maker, but I tell you what, this guy can flat out score the basketball, and I tell you what, that comes at a premium, as anybody will tell you in the NBA. You got to be able to score. The Detroit Pistons, they roll the dice. Andre Drummond comes up at number nine. Good luck with that one. That's probably going to get Joe Dumars fired, in my opinion. I think that's going to be his ending right there. The New Orleans Hornets up at number 10 in the draft again. They select Duke guard Doc Rivers' son, Austin Rivers. I think that's a great combination, Austin Rivers and the young Anthony Davis. And Portland up again at number 11. They take Miles Leonard, the center from Illinois. I really think this has bust. Him and Andre Drummond, you might as well put them in a barrel and pick out a name, because I think they're both busts. I'm sorry. I really don't see either one of these guys being a very, very productive center. They're basically drafting on potential. And you know what happens when you draft potential only in the NBA? It gets you fired. We've seen it over and over again. And those two picks right there will tell you, you know, within 2 or 3 years, who's looking for a new GM in 2 or 3 years, whether it's the Pistons or the Blazers. Jeremy Lamb, the Rockets, one of their three first-round draft picks. I thought the Rockets did a fabulous job picking up some really great pieces Expect them to make a move and acquire some different players, though. Kendall Marshall, obviously the heir apparent to Steve Nash. Talk about big shoes to fill, heading to Phoenix. And John Henson from North Carolina, the forward/center. I don't think he has the size to play center, but he's a great shot blocker. He's got great timing. It's just something you kind of develop. You can't teach that. I think they're going to develop him there. He's going to get to play with some veteran guys in Milwaukee. I think it's going to go right along and go very well for him as a good landing spot for John Henson. At number 15, the back end of the lottery in the NBA draft, there's Maurice Harkless, who I bet you this guy right here is going to be the steal of the draft. Doug Collins, the coach, and obviously is the guy pulling the strings there now in Philadelphia. The guy knows basketball. He's been around basketball for a very, very long time as a player, as a coach. He coached Michael Jordan, for Christ's sake. A lot of people forget about that. Doug Collins coached Michael Jordan and really helped mold him to get where he was going. You know, and a developer of young talent, Doug Collins has always been great at that. Look at the Philadelphia team and what they did this year, knocking off, granted, the Bulls in the first round without Derrick Rose, but they still beat them, and they pushed the Celtics to 7 games in the second round of the playoffs. That young Philadelphia team is on the rise, so definitely keep out a lookout for them. Other notables in the first round of the draft, Jared Sullinger, a guy I really like. He's a below-the-rim guy at 6'8.5". The Boston Celtics rolled the dice on him. I don't think it's roll of the dice at all. Jared Sullinger missed 2 games in 2 years. He was a dominant. You look at Jared Sullinger in the first 2 years of his career at Ohio State, and there were times where he was very dominant, averaging a double-double through his career. Those things translate to the NBA, and I think with him playing one in Boston, a team that really does a good job at developing basketball players, playing to their strengths, and playing with a veteran group like Jason Terry and Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce and Rajon Rondo, who's going to get Jared Sullinger easy baskets. Jared Sullinger is going to fit right in. They're going to coach him up real good. Jaren Sullinger is a steal. I'm telling you, a steal at the number 21 pick for the Boston Celtics. So that's your NBA recap as far as what's going on in free agency, what, you know, happened at the top end of the first round of the NBA draft. Hey, moving on tonight, we have a section of the show we called Off the Path. This is where we talk about things not music related. Or not sports related that are related with music, man. Tell you what, I'm just all messed up tonight, Mike. I'm telling you, man. Hey, Off the Path. U2 star Adam Clayton, his former personal assistant, was found guilty of embezzling 2.8 million euro, which is about 2.2 million, and also funded a lavish lifestyle. Carol Hawkins, she was convicted of 181 counts of theft from the base's bank account over a 4-year period. Clayton walked into the courtroom as the jury in the Circuit Criminal Court in Dublin returned the unanimous verdict for each individual count. The deliberation took over 5 hours, and reading the sentences took over 25 minutes, 181 counts of theft totaling of 2.8 million euro. Unbelievable. Now, Carol Hawkins actually started out as his housekeeper in 1992 and worked her way up as a driver, and her husband was a chef, you know, worked her way up until she got to Clayton's books. Word to the wise to all rich musicians and athletes out there, if you're making millions of dollars, get an accountant. Don't just trust your your former housemaid to do your books for you. Unbelievable. 181 counts of theft. It took him 25 minutes to read all the counts in court. And Miss Carol Hawkins was emotionless, showed no emotion at all, just sitting there going, yeah, I lived it up for 4 years, man. You too. Bono me this, you know? I saw that story and I was like, that is hilarious.
Newsflash.
Newsflash? This in from CNN. Anderson Cooper is gay. What? Gay? Well, that's a big shock. Touch of gray, gay, anyone? Touch of gray? Gay? Get it? Yeah. Anyway, moving on. Adele's hiatus for music is going to last a little bit longer. The singer just announced that she is pregnant with her first child on her official website, and she is quoted as saying, "I'm delighted to announce that Simon and I are expecting our first child. I wanted you to hear the news directly from me. Obviously, we're over the moon and very excited, and please respect our privacy at this precious time. Love always, Adele." Now, Adele was taking time off because of vocal surgery on her vocal cord. Adele's 2011 album sold 9.3 million copies to date. The album is titled 21. Unbelievable. And that's only since the album broke in October of 2011. Unbelievable. I really love Adele. She's got a great voice, great songwriter. Look for her probably to come back even stronger and better than ever here, probably about, I'd say, at least a year, maybe two. I mean, you got that much money and that much time. You know, she might as well take her time, write a third great album and just, you know, continue doing what she does. So congratulations to Adele. Now, I want to get into Van Halen for a second. No, you don't have to rush and put on your 1984 album just yet. Now, after postponing all tour dates on June 26, Van Halen has now canceled all shows. This is reported by the Polestar.com. The band has announced the cancellation on their website, but Polestar notes that many of the tour dates after June 26th moving forward are all canceled on Ticketmaster as well, including stops in Baltimore, Detroit, Memphis, Sacramento, and Milwaukee, to name a few. Refunds are reportedly available at point of sale. Back in May, the band made an announcement postponement of all tour dates following June 26 in New Orleans. Sources told Rolling Stone the band was fighting and that they hate one another. David Lee Roth released a video saying that we're getting along fine. Him and Eddie Van Halen are getting along. They're getting along just fine like they always have. Right now, I just want to put some spandex on and hear Jump, right? Go ahead, Jump. Yeah, well, they're jumping right off that tour. Van Halen, you know what? At this point, it's over. It's done. Just put an end to it, you know? Put on Hot for Teacher, and there you go. Enjoy yourself. Also in the news, Lamb of God singer Randy Blythe. Now, many may not be familiar with this story, but he was arrested on June 28th in the Czech Republic on an apparent manslaughter charge that dates back to a 2010 incident. Now, the Czech news reports that Blythe was engaged in a fight with a fan during the band's show in May of 2010, and the fan later died of his injuries. Turns out the fan actually died 14 days later from his injuries, and I saw the alleged video of the incident where Blythe is on stage with, I'm guessing, maybe a member of his personal security or something like that, and this young man it was identified at the age of, I think, 19 at the time, was on stage and was basically had a confrontation with him on stage. And Blythe, and I would assume maybe his personal security, grabbed and threw him off the stage. So obviously the young man sustained a head injury of some type, and then at that point died about 14 days later. Now, here's the problem I have with this. I think this is a horrible charge to keep Blythe in jail. They had put him on bond for $4 million. Now in the Czech Republic, in American dollars, that breaks into about $200,000. You know what? I think Blythe should probably be released from this. I mean, it happened 2 years ago, and I feel bad for the kid that died. Don't get me wrong. But I think, and I talked with Mike about this earlier today on the phone. I said, you know, ever since, you know, 2004, you look at the Dimebag Darrell Abbott incident in Columbus, Ohio, at the Alrosa Villa, a place I've been to more times than I care to admit. I've been there a lot, by the way. I'll admit that. I've drank a lot of beer there. I've had a lot of fun there. I've seen a lot of shows there. But one thing that changed on the night that Dimebag Darrell Abbott was killed in the Alrosa Villa in Columbus, Ohio, it changed about the whole concept of concerts and people getting on stage. You can't do that anymore. You know, I mean, and, you know, some people, oh, these guys are just prima donnas, yada, yada, yada. You know, hey, look, you know, it's all about, you know, safety for them. You don't know what the heck people are going to do nowadays. And it's about safety for the fan as well. You know, getting on stage, you fall off, you hit your head, you break a rib. You know, anything can happen to you there. That's why there's no crowd surfing at these shows and those type of things typically anymore. This is an unfortunate black eye, really, for Blythe and really heavy metal. I mean, you know, Blythe recently just canceled his Twitter account. I followed him for a while. I mean, really intelligent guy, well-spoken guy, humorous, really funny guy as well. And I hope this gets cleared up. And I'm glad to see other musicians have come out and said, hey, man, you know, we need to get this guy free. We need to get this guy out of the Czech Republic. you know, we need to get him out of the Chechen jail. Okay, I'm sure that's not very fun. Happy 4th of July, right? How was your 4th of July, Randy? Oh, I spent it at the Czech Republic in jail. It sucked. You know, I'm glad Slayer, Anthrax, you know, other guys have come out. Corey Taylor from Slipknot, a bunch of people have come out and really showed the band Lamb of God and Randy Blythe a lot of support. You really got to dig that. I'll keep you posted as much as I can here as news develops about this. I'm sure it'll be a very interesting story, and I'm sure the mainstream media will twist this around as best they can. But I've seen the video and the reports that I've read. It seems like it's a very trumped up charge to try to pin this on him when it was just it was an accident. And he didn't even know that it happened. Heck, you're on tour with a band, you know, you pay it, you know, this city, and 2 days later, you're probably gone. He probably didn't even know. He shows up in the same country 2 years later, and they're like, hey, you're responsible for manslaughter from some kid at your show. And he's like, what are you talking about? So not a lot of details at this point, but based off the details that we do have, it sounds like total BS in my opinion. But hey, as more stuff comes out, we'll definitely pass that along to you here on Unsigned. And also today, the legendary television actor Andy Griffith passed away today. He was obviously the star of the Andy Griffith Show and also the long-running series Matlock. He died at the age of 86. The Andy Griffith Show started in 1960 and played till 1968. It was a staple of American television. In 1986, he returned to television with the long-running series Matlock. Always enjoyed Matlock. I remember going over to my grandparents' house, and they really liked Matlock. One, because it was Andy Griffith, and it was because of Matlock. You know, and he always ate hot dogs on the show. That's one thing I remember about the show Matlock. I don't really remember about any of the cases or any shows specifically. I remember he was always eating hot dogs. But obviously, it didn't hurt him too much. He lived to 86, a legend in television. So, you know, definitely someone who would be missed in the world of television, a guy who really did a lot in television. Also received a Presidential Medal of Freedom by President George Bush. Now it's time for our top movies. Number 10, People Like Us, 4.3 million. Snow White and the Huntsman, 4.4 million. Moonrise Kingdom, 4.8 million. The movie Prometheus, 4.9 million. Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter, 6 million. I haven't seen it yet. I'm waiting for Thomas Jefferson, Werewolf Killer. Holding out for that one. Madagascar 3, Euro's Most Wanted. Tyler Perry's Madam Witness Protection. Get this, 26.3 million. Every time I see a Tyler Perry movie advertised on TV or TBS, it just really ticks me off. It really does. I go, how can people be so freaking stupid to go see these stupid, ridiculous movies on TV? I seen the same trailer you do. I really do. I see the same trailer you do, and I go, God, that looks like a really crappy, awful movie. There's no way I would pay $10 to see that. Hell, they should pay me $10 to go see that. And here, this horrible, awful-looking movie made $26.3 million and is number four on the top 10 list of movies. I'm sorry, it just irks me. Every time I see Tyler Perry's name associated with $26.3 million, it gets me a little riled up. Number three on the list, the movie Brave, kids film getting great reviews, $34 million. The movie Magic Mike, of course, Mike and I are the inspiration for that movie, and we're still waiting for my royalty check to come in at $39.1 million. And I was thinking to myself the other night, I was like, you know, for the single guys out there, I'm a married guy. Mike, you're a married guy. You know, for the single guys, heck, even for us, maybe I should take my own advice here. You should really take your girlfriend to see Magic Mike. Or if you're trying to hook up with a girl, you got to take her to see Magic Mike. That's like the best date movie ever. Suck it up, get a big thing of popcorn, and, you know, get a Diet Coke because she's going to want to have a Diet Coke. You're just going to have to drink a Diet Coke and a large popcorn and suck it up and watch Magic Mike because you're probably, you know, have a nice dinner beforehand, watch Magic Mike. It's about male strippers. Your chances of having a very good ending of your evening, I think, are greatly increased. $39.1 million. I bet you, you know, a lot of good date nights ended at the end of that movie, I'm telling you, through the weekend. And the number one movie this weekend, a movie that I cannot wait to go see, Seth MacFarlane's film debut full-length movie. That is the movie Ted at $54.1 million. tell you what, just even the censored trailers are absolutely hilarious. The reviews, you know, some people are, you know, yeah, you have your, you know, your New York Times, those type of places aren't going to like it. But I tell you what, it's a brilliant comedy from what the trailers and the unedited things that I've seen online. Looking forward to seeing that movie front to back. And this is tonight's version of Off the Path. And right now it is time for our Major League Baseball recap. The All-Star game is only a couple days away, July 10th. Hard to believe that the season really at the halfway point. And here's the National League starters. Center Buster Posey from San Francisco Giants. Joey Votto from the Cincinnati Reds. Dan Uggla from the Braves. Rafael Furcal. Hope I'm saying that right. St. Louis Cardinals. Melky Cabrera, San Francisco Giants. Carlos Beltran, St. Louis Cardinals, and Matt Kemp, even though he's been on the injured reserve list quite a bit with some hamstring issues, he has played one heck of a first half of the season for the Los Angeles Dodgers. The American League All-Stars, Mike Napoli from the Rangers, Prince Fielder from the Tigers, Robinson Cano from the Yankees, Adrian Beltre from the Texas Rangers, Derek Jeter making his 13th appearance at the All-Star game with the New York Yankees, Curtis Granderson from the New York Yankees, Josh Hamilton from the Rangers, Jose Bautista from the Toronto Blue Jays, and David Ortiz, Big Papi himself, making his 8th All-Star appearance. Also, the Home Run Derby is July 9th. You got some big names in there, Granderson, Ortiz, Matt Kemp, a lot of big-time hitters in there. I always find the Home Run Derby to be very exciting. Last year's, if you remember, was very exciting with Granderson, you know, really going back and forth with Hamilton. It was very compelling TV. Now, here's the standings as they stand heading into the All-Star break. Still some games to be played, but the Yankees, they've been red hot, man. They've won 7 out of their last 10. The Baltimore Orioles have slipped a little bit, but the Red Sox haven't really gained much ground because they're playing 500 baseball. And the Tampa Bay Rays have really taken a dive. I thought they would really take the division. The Central Division, the mediocre division at best here, everybody just floating above 500, barely. The Indians have lost 7 out of their last 10. The Tigers have not fared much better. They're not playing good baseball. I think this division is the White Sox to win. It really is. They've won 6 out of their last 10. They're not playing great baseball by any means, but the underachieving American Central is a little bit alarming. Now, the AL West, this is shaping up to be a shootout. The Angels and the Rangers, they have both won 7 out of the last 10. I expect this to go down to the wire towards the end of the season. The National League, the Washington Nationals, this team, you know, playing 500, you know, playing almost 600 baseball. They're only playing 500 baseball in their final 10. But the New York Mets, two teams, if you would have said at the beginning of the year, the Washington Nationals and the New York Mets are going to duel out for the NL East, people would have looked at you like you were crazy. But that's exactly what's happening. The NL Central is all about the Cincinnati Reds. They are, I wouldn't say they're necessarily running away with the division, but I expect them to hold on and win it. And the NL West, the Dodgers, injuries have really plagued them. They've lost 8 of their last 10. They are definitely on a downslope. I expect them to make a move heading into the trade deadline here to try to get something. But the Giants have played really, really good baseball despite some injuries and really not hitting the ball well. Man, they have had great pitching. They've won 7 out of their last 10. And that has been your Major League Baseball recap. You know, Olympics are about 3 weeks away now. Time trials have been going on now. And the women's swim team, Dara Torres, she's 45 years old. She's going to miss the women's Olympic team for the first time since 1984. She holds the record for women with 12 medals. An unreal athlete. Speaking of unreal athletes, Michael Phelps, who is going to compete in 8 swimming events in London. Freak athlete. Remember last week I said Ryan Lochte finally beat Michael Phelps. Well, in the swim trials, Michael Phelps has beat Lochte 5 times after that. Michael Phelps rounding in the form big time. Now, let's take a look at the women's 100-meter Olympic trial runoff. Remember, you know, it was a big to-do that Allison Felix and Jenna Bartomac were going to have this big runoff because they tied. They were going to have the runoff last night. Turns out it's canceled. They didn't have the runoff last night because Jenna Bartomac decided she didn't want to actually have the runoff. She said, "I have decided to decline my third-place position in the women's 100-meter dash to Allison Felix." I understand this is my decision, and I am no longer running the 100-meter dash in the Olympic Games, and I will be an alternate for the event. As an alternate, I understand that I will be asked to run if another 100-meter runner decides not to run for personal reasons. Wow. I was really shocked by this. I thought, you know, as a competitive athlete trying to get to the Olympics, that these two women would run it out. I find it very, very bizarre. You know, if she didn't want to do the run out, she didn't have to agree to it. Maybe she could have done the coin flip, I guess, and flipped on chance. I don't know. But I find it very strange. I don't know if she's looking at lawsuit here with the Track and Field Commission of the United States. It'd be interesting to see where this goes or what she parlays this into. Very interesting stuff. You know, Cuba also held their Olympic swim trials. Now, you know what they do with the Cuba swim trials? They actually just jump in the oceans, and whoever makes it to Miami first is part of the Olympic team. It's interesting how they do that down there. Now, your burping champion. How about this? We actually have a burping championship. Now, the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest is pretty famous. You know, it happens every 4th of July, but tomorrow being 4th of July, guess what? We're talking about eating competitions. The 2011 Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. Tim Eater X, he's the third best hot dog eater in the world. No one eats hot dogs like him. I bet you Matlock could take him down. He owns the record for speed eating burritos, sushi, and ramen noodles. All that training has helped him develop another skill, and that is belching. He can belch for 18 seconds uninterrupted. Check this out. I bet you he feels a lot better after that. No doubt about it. I wonder if he does what the other guys do after eating a bunch of hot dogs and, you know, eat a little yogurt to kind of soften the blow there, you know. Get a six-pack of Cottonelle tissue and just soften the blow with some yogurt and hang out in the bathroom for a while. You know what? Women's tennis. You know, I don't think we've ever talked about women tennis on the show ever. But you know what? We're going to talk about it this evening. Women's tennis. I am appalled by this. Women's tennis has come up with a gruntometer where women's tennis, the women are no longer allowed to grunt. Now, who doesn't want to watch women tennis and hear this? I mean, really? Now they're going to deduct points away from the women for grunting? I mean, that's part of, isn't that why people watch women tennis? Is so they can watch Rina Sharapova run around and grunt? Gruntometer rates that at a 70-point deduction. Your winner, 25 love.
Yes. That's as loud as it
gets. Whoa. Surprised I didn't shatter a couple of windows.
She's woken up the crowd.
Yeah, she woke up the crowd with that grunt. That grunt rated really high, Bob. You know what? I would love to hear Bob Costas describing the gruntometer during Wimbledon. I really would. We need to get that to happen. We really do. You know what? That's all I've got for you tonight, ladies and gentlemen. I appreciate your time. My apologies again to King Whack and Rob from King Whack. and from Dragon and also Dragonfly Digital Music. We'll work to get them back on for everybody here on the next coming weeks. Tomorrow is the 4th of July, and I want you to go out there and have a good time. Be safe. Don't light yourself on fire. Don't light your neighbor's house on fire. Don't blow any fingers off. Do not point Roman candles at anyone unless they've made you mad. Then I guess you could go ahead and point them at them. I mean, you know, do not hold bottle rockets in your hand and light them and throw them. It's not a good idea. But hey, enjoy the 4th of July. You know, the 4th of July is independence of the United States of America, one of the greatest countries in the world. And enjoy yourself. And we'll be back next week. We have special guest Spider Rockets. They were on about 6 months ago. They just released a new album. So definitely check us out for that. And Helena will be back, the lovely Helena, talking about the new album and their show with Papa Roach as well. So definitely check that out. It'll be a good time. My name is Ryan. It seems harder to enjoy the finer things in life. Until next time, do so, everybody.